The Supreme Court hears oral arguments about a census question on citizenship.
There's reason to believe that already the trend is going to be toward this census being much worse in quality than the census 10 years ago.
And Sri Lanka continues to investigate who was behind a series of deadly Easter bombings that have now killed over 300 people.
I think they are highly connected with Hamas, Hezbollah, or ISIS. My personal view.
Plus, it's a big day for corporate earnings. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, a lawsuit over a potential citizenship question on the 2020 census and what it says about our overall willingness to participate in surveys, here's what you missed overnight. The death toll from a series of deadly bombings on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka continues to rise. As of this morning, at least 310 people have been killed. Investigators are now focusing on an obscure group, National Thauteenth Jamaath, that they believe might have been responsible for the attacks. But they've cautioned that the sophistication suggests that the group had help from international terrorism experts. Indian and U.S. officials had warned Sri Lanka in early April about the possibility of an attack. Ranjan Ramanyaki is a Sri Lankan government minister.
I think they are highly connected with Hamas, Hezbollah, or ISIS. My personal view. I don't know why terrorist people, these brutal terrorist groups, why they found, why they monitor, and why they select our country too.
Myanmar's Supreme Court has upheld the conviction of two Reuters reporters, Wa Lone and Ja So Oo. They'd been arrested and sentenced to 7 years in prison for their coverage of the military's crackdown on ethnic Rohingya Muslims. This was the last avenue of appeal available to the two, who were awarded the Pulitzer Prize for International Reporting along with their colleagues earlier this month. The upheld conviction raises questions about press freedoms and the extent of the country's transition to democracy under Aung San Suu Kyi.
Well, and he's also under no obligation to release his tax returns. It's become a tradition. I know Ronald Reagan, I think, released 1 year of tax returns, and he wasn't real happy about the invasion of privacy when he did it.
And that is Vice President Mike Pence in 2016 defending President Trump's decision not to release his tax returns, something that continues to this day. But here's something you might not know. Mr. Pence has filed 3 tax returns since taking office, but he hasn't publicly released any of them. That's a break from his predecessors. Going back to Walter Mondale in the 1970s, all have disclosed their returns. Mr. Pence's office has said that he's following Mr. Trump's lead by refusing to release returns until audits are finished. Now, our big story this morning. It has to do with the census. Today, the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in a lawsuit over whether or not the 2020 census should include a question about whether or not someone is an American citizen. It's controversial because opponents say that question could make minorities and immigrants reluctant to participate. But as Charlie Turner has been finding out from our international economics reporter Josh Zumbrum, the census case has raised another big question about our overall willingness to respond to surveys.
Josh, intertwined with this suit is a more general problem, and that is fewer and fewer Americans are responding to government surveys. Isn't that right?
That's correct, and it's a problem that's so much worse, I think, than most people realize. I mean, here at the Wall Street Journal, we regularly are writing stories about the unemployment report, or we'll mention the poverty rate, or we'll mention economic inequality, or we'll talk about inflation. And all of these statistics that we talk about come from these government surveys that a generation ago, everybody who got the government survey pretty much responded to it. You'd see, you know, they'd send the survey out, and 90% or 95% of people would fill it out. And so the statistical quality of it was really high. But what's happened over the past kind of 20, 30 years is that the rates at which people respond to these surveys have gradually been falling across the board. I mean, it's true in economic statistics, it's true in health statistics, demographics. Now you have, you know, 30, 40, in some cases more than 50% of the people who are getting the survey, they're not responding to it. And so you don't know that the answers you're getting are any good anymore because you're not really getting a random sample. And the only reason surveys work statistically is if they're based on a random sample. And so it really looks like it's a big problem in all sorts of government data. And it means that a lot of the statistics that are out there are a lot worse than we realize.
Well, the next question is, why? Are people more worried about things like privacy and also spam and the concern that they're being sold a bill of goods? You know, it's basically a marketing call.
I think it's all of those things. It's how often people are surveyed. You know, you walk in and you buy a coffee and they try to get you to rate the experience 1 to 5 stars. I mean, you're buying coffee and you get surveys. You know, there used to be a lot more families where only one person in the family worked outside the home. And, you know, there was the other person was kind of there to answer surveys. And so you just had a lot of reasons that there used to be more response. People used to be more willing to participate. People are concerned about privacy. They're concerned about being sold things. I mean, you add it all up and there's just been a collapse. And one of the things that's really important there is to note that some of the people that aren't responding might all have a lot of things in common. So if you think about where both spouses work outside the home, if families like that aren't responding to economic statistics, think how different your economic statistics are going to be if you're only sampling the families where one of those people is still inside the home to answer the family. Suddenly, you're not getting a random selection of the population at all. You're getting a very non-random group of people, and that leads to all sorts of distortions in statistics. So it's a really interesting and significant challenge. And not only are people less likely to answer surveys than they used to be, but there's actually growing evidence that people are doing a worse job of answering surveys when they do respond. The takeaway from all this is that whatever the outcome of this Supreme Court case is, there's reason to believe that already the trend is going to be toward this census being much worse in quality than the census 10 years ago. And the Supreme Court decision in this case could potentially exacerbate the problem pretty significantly.
Joining us from Washington, Wall Street Journal reporter Josh Zumbrun. Thanks a lot, Josh.
Thanks so much for having me.
You can find our full coverage of that hearing and Josh's story about the problems of data collection at WSJ.com. On to markets. It's the busiest week of the earnings season, with 150 S&P 500 companies reporting results this week. Here's our Heard on the Street columnist Mike Bird with how investors have been taking the results.
We're about to head into a monster week for U.S. corporate earnings, with about a third of American companies reporting their first quarter results this week. Microsoft, Starbucks, and Ford are just some of the names reporting in the days to come. U.S. stocks are just shy of the record highs they reached in September last year, and as ever, investors are on the lookout for signs of financial sickness and health from the results. Well, the good news is that so far, earnings are coming out stronger than analysts had expected. But the bad news is that the companies that are beating their earnings expectations are barely being rewarded by investors right now, according to analysts at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. In contrast, those who have had worse quarters than analysts expected have been taking a beating in financial markets the day afterwards. So keep an eye out for any major misses on earnings, which seem to be carrying a heavier penalty than usual this year.
And now, the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. One key company whose earnings investors will be paying attention to today is Twitter. The company reports its earnings before markets open. Twitter has struggled to grow the number of users who want to send out their thoughts in 140 characters or less. One key issue? It's been struggling to rein in toxic behavior. Chief Executive Jack Dorsey has said that Twitter wants to do more to alleviate the burden of reporting abuse from victims. Also, pay attention to oil prices today. As we mentioned yesterday, the Trump administration ended waivers for countries still currently buying Iranian oil, which is now subject to sanctions. Here's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Today, I'm announcing that we will no longer grant any exemptions. We're going to zero across the board.
The end of that waiver program caused oil prices to surge to a six-month high yesterday. So pay attention to what happens today, because rising oil prices could exert upward pressure on gas prices, just as we all look at planning our summer holiday travel. Finally, here's a fun story for you. Is a Jeopardy whiz America's best sports story? James Holzhauer from Naperville, Illinois, has won $851,926 over his first 12 episodes. That's a rate of accumulation never seen in the program's 35-season history. Have you been watching? Give us your best quiz questions. Tweet us at WSJ Podcast or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.